I'm Matthew McCabe. Welcome to Miracle Voices. Each episode, we will be delving into stories of forgiveness, healing, and transformation that have come about from integrating the principles of the book, A Course in Miracles. If you want to learn more about A Course in Miracles, visit www.acim.org. If you'd like to visit the Miracle Voices site, please go to www.miraclevoices.org. If you feel inspired to make a love offering, please visit us at miraclevoices.org/donate. All donations go to support the work of the Foundation for Inner Peace, the publisher of A Course in Miracles. Now here's your program. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Miracle Voices. This is your co-host, Matt McCabe. I'm here with my co-host, Tam Morgan. Tam, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Another good day here.
Good.
And yeah. You?
And I'm very well, thank you.
Yay! Good.
Excited for our guest today, Maria Felipe. Maria, welcome to Miracle Voices.
Hi, Matt. Thank you for having me. I'm so grateful. Hi, Tam.
Hi. We're grateful, too. Yes. That's how we like to start everything here, is with gratitude.
And yeah, it's pretty much everything. I feel like every time I'm grateful, it brings me back to God, to the truth.
Here, here.
And it just feels good.
Mm-hmm.
There's that. Yes. And every time we're not, well, guess what we get to remember to do? Be right. Grateful.
And yay. Maria, where are you in the world?
I am in Naples, Florida. And we've been living here about maybe 4 years now. So yeah, the weather's amazing today. It's a nice sunny day. Maybe right now it's maybe in the 68, 69. It's feeling a little chilly for us.
Yeah.
It's all about perception, you know?
Yeah. Really? I mean, I heard, what wasn't it? DC was 85 last week. So yeah, it's amazing that Florida's like less.
Yes.
So confusing. You can't count on the weather anymore. Not that you ever could.
But, exactly.
Yeah.
You really can't count anything in this world.
But we try. Lord knows we try. We can count on love.
Yes.
That's it. Love and the fact that things will continuously change in the world of form.
Yeah. And I know your mom was big on this, but we can definitely count on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
24/7.
That's true. So much for not being able to count on anything.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying in the world, right?
Yes.
In the world, you can't count on anything, but in Holy Spirit, we can.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, Maria, I'd love to hear how A Course in Miracles came into your life.
Well, it came in, I was going through a growing up crisis in my early 20s. I could feel like, Matt, I was anywhere around maybe 19 years old. So it was a long time ago, and I was feeling like this crisis of becoming older, getting into my 20s. What was I going to do with my life? What was my purpose? At the time, I was an actor. I was doing commercials in Miami. I was going to also modeling auditions in South Beach. I mean, it was a whole slew of different things in my life at the time, and I was getting so insecure, Tam and Matt. I was just in this vortex of who am I, what's happening, and what's next, and then feeling extremely depressed. It's the first time I felt this sadness that I couldn't get out of bed. I remember telling my mom and dad, what is this? Like, what am I feeling? And they told me, well, it sounds like you have depression. And I was like, and what's that? And why aren't they teaching this in school? You know, this incredible sadness I was feeling. I was such in disarray. I remember just driving down the streets of Miami. I'm never going to forget it. I think I went to church that day. I was praying. I was just in such a really funky mood. I ended up going into Barnes & Noble's and bumping into Marion Williamson's Face. Her book, Return to Love, was just sitting there. And I bought it. I bought the book. That's the first time I would ever hear of The Course in Miracles. And I was intrigued because all she kept on talking about was this blue book the whole time. I know she was she is Jewish, and she was just talking about it consistently in the book. And I was intrigued. I wouldn't go on to really look much more into it after that. But 5 years later, I was at a Unity church in Unity of Miami, and I walked in to the bookstore of Unity, and I heard that there was a workshop about the Course in Miracles going on that day. Again, this was in the 90s. I would say this is already like 1995. And I heard that it was a Course in Miracles. And then I thought of the Jewish lady, Marian Williamson, and talking about the blue book and return to love. So I was like, oh, I think that that's what this Marian Williamson lady was talking about. So I went into the workshop, and this, you know, fairly heavy set man, his name was Gil, and he was talking about the Course in Miracles. And one of the few things he said that I remember at that time was the Course in Miracles purpose is forgiveness. You forgive people for what they don't do. You're responsible for your world. You're not a victim of your circumstances. And I fell off my chair. I was like, and what is this? And this is so radical. I mean, literally, I couldn't believe it. And it was so powerful. All the concepts he was talking about, the course, it had been something that, even though it was so mind-blowing, at the same time, I knew it would be my path. I knew that it would be something I would study. I know it would be something I would live. Not understanding how I would even get there or how I would even understand the Course in Miracles, I was like, this would be my spiritual path. And I had said it at that moment, Matt, in a very like way of like, okay, this is it. And I bought it. I ended up reading it myself by myself. I ended up joining a group in Miami, a weekly group of the Course in Miracles. And the rest is history. And it's changed my life. It's part of this experience that I have in this world of duality is something I take with me from the moment I wake up to the moment I fall asleep. And throughout my career in television, I remember even I worked for WWF, which is WWE now, World Wrestling Entertainment. I believe it or not, I would interview like the good guys and the bad guys next to the ring and all that stuff and travel the world and super insecure. Okay. Still depressed, super insecure, taking Course in Miracles with me, taking the Bible with me, anything I could get my hands on. And I'll be literally in the hotel room, just paralyzed with like just this anxiety and fear and depression that I was going through. And I remember just starting to read the course at the time and not understanding a thing, but really interesting, Tam and Matt, would bring me just so much peace, even if I didn't even understand what it was saying. Right?
Yeah.
And I remember, you know how they always say that, you know, you have a positive mindset and you could like achieve things, or, you know, not the course, but I'm saying the world, or you have to like, you see it to believe it, and you know, you change your thoughts and you could create, like, you know, manifest this and that. And I realized at that time in my life that that actually isn't true. Because when I got that job for WWF, I actually auditioned and 500 girls went for that part to host that show. And I was the most depressed I had been in my whole life. And my mindset was crap. You know, and I walked into this room and somehow my nerves went away and I just did my thing. I ended up getting a contract for Univision for 46 shows, live shows, terrified throughout the whole job, but did it somehow. So I also learned that throughout my process of the course is that not necessarily do you have to create or have this positive mindset to create what it appears to be success in the world? Because I was literally a hot mess at the time. I don't know where I'm getting with this, but the whole point I'm saying is that when you're supposed to live something, you're going to live it. You know, you will live it. You will live that experience. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense in that There's a difference between conscious manifestation, which is like entering the creation of almost magic in the world, because you're in the world of form. You think you want something, you project it out. There's that whole realm. But what you're talking about is that living out your destiny, your path, that you can't even get in the way of. You can't sabotage your own path, even if you want to, if that's your path. And you can go off the path, but you're usually thrown back on. And I mean the path in the world of form of your evolution, that you need to, you know, your soul needs to live in order to get to what has been intended for you. So it's like free will versus fate. We could talk for hours about that, but there really is an interwoven expression. So it's not true that you have to have your positive attitude to be on your path. It is true that you have to make a commitment at some point to awakening during whatever path you're on. Mm-hmm. If that's what your path is to do in this life, you know, there's the choice.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was so surprised that I got the job, you know, because the world had taught me the opposite. You know, you have to be in a good mindset. And I was such in a crappy mindset. I couldn't believe that I manifested or like a successful job, right? Crazy, but just so right what you're saying. It felt like it was like a destiny thing, is I had to live through that. And it was so much fun. Apart from it being, I had so much insecurities at the time, you know, I got the chance to meet The Rock, which is a huge Hollywood star now. Yeah. All these, like, and, you know, work with these wrestlers and, you know, being people in Espanol and things like that. It was just so fascinating, you know?
Yeah, that's been.
What a metaphor too, because it's just like the world. It seems very real. It seemed very real to me as a little kid watching professional wrestling, but it's like, oh wait, this is all staged and scripted, but they seem like these two are enemies and they're going to act it out and you're going to get a body slam and thrown out of the ring. And it's like, oh wait, it was just a show, you know, but it's entertaining.
But yeah. It's so funny to me that you bring this up, because it is so not any part of my own world. But yesterday I was at the Xfinity store, which is the internet service and phone service that is one of them that's offered out here. And truly, talk about world of form hell. They have put me completely in this, or I have put myself with my relationship with them in such difficulty that I finally realized that after they screwed up absolutely everything and told me complete wrong information about everything that was about to happen, they said, and thank you for being a loyal 30-year customer. And I thought, I'm in an abusive relationship for 30 years. I'm getting out of this. But in any person, when I went into the store, who actually helped me extricate myself from it, had right next to him, it was Halloween, and he had this enormous belt that was the winner of the world entertainment wrestling, whatever. And it was this enormous, enormous belt. The only thing time I'd ever seen anything like that was that the person who won the award for eating the most Nathan hot dogs in the world got one of these huge belts. And he kept every so often, every time we got into a really tough place and he was on the phone with Xfinity as a representative of Xfinity, he every time he won something they said he couldn't do, he lifted up the belt, the wrestling belt, and said to me, I'm the man.
Oh my God. What synchronicity, right? That's like,
yes. So- oh my God. I started to laugh. I hugged him. I mean, we exchanged each other's, you know, emails and stuff, because he was so adorable. And he brought love to me in that situation where I went in and I hated. I found myself hating. I was like, I know this is my lesson. This is the bane of my existence, is this company. And it has been for years and years. But boy, this pro wrestler, you know, entertainment wrestler, completely, completely brought me back to me. It wasn't even me of stop, breathe. I tried that. But in this moment, it was so bad. It involved my son. It involved like everything. This man brought me back. So thank you for saying that.
I love the synchronicity of that, you know, that I talk about wrestling and there was literally somebody dressed up as a wrestler yesterday for Halloween. That's like the one mind thing. I love it.
But he was a professional wrestler.
Oh, he was.
He had won that award and he was so proud of it. And he had won that belt and he was so proud of it that he brought it in for Halloween. He had to wear his normal, you know, Xfinity clothes, but he had the belt on a chair and he kept lifting it throughout the conversation. I'm the man. It's like, yay, you're the man.
Oh my God, I love that.
No, it was fabulous. I also wanted to say that, you know, you talked about reading the course, not understanding it and still finding peace. And I remember as a child, my mother got very into Edgar Cayce, the healer and spiritualist. And he used to read books by putting them under his pillow at night, and he would absorb the books. So I remember that I did that with the course a couple of times when I had to write a paper on it, and I just stuck it on, you know, and I hadn't done the course, but I'd lived with Helen and Ken and Bill, my mother, for a couple of years there. And I would just put it under my pillow and wake up and feel like I got something from it, because the reading it was just too dense for me.
There's so much more. And I'll say this and you're not seeing me, but I'll tear up just saying it. It's like, there's so much more than the words on the paper. There's this energetic field that surrounds it. I mean, I can just cry just saying it, you know. It's just, it goes beyond the words. It's an experience, and it's something that you can't even describe in words, the healing that happens. And it goes beyond the words. It really does.
Also, and it is literally that statement, there's more to this than meets the eye. And I have always said to people, since I wasn't interested in the course for years, you know, just open it, read it, and especially at night, it will put you to sleep. I mean, you can get it instead of a sleeping pill if you don't understand it and don't even like it. Get it as a sleeping pill, because it'll put you to sleep, and that's not a bad thing.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
You know, is an energy to this that is quite extraordinary.
I had like a really good friend at the time that, I don't know, I just felt, you know, those friends, you always just think they know everything. And she hadn't even heard of the course. And she would just come into my home and I was like, oh, look, I got, you know, and I had gotten the, you know, the blue, you know, the Foundation for Inner Peace, the Virgin, not the third, it wasn't the third edition yet. It was that far back, because I got it like in the 90s was my first book, 1996 when I got it. And I would give it to her because I always thought she knew everything. And she would walk in my apartment and I would just give it to her and say, can you read this? Can you please explain it to me?
And did she?
She would just read it and she would kind of give her interpretation of it. It's just this person that always knew everything. And she would just give me her interpretation. And then I would just start reading it. And I remember now that I share it, you know, in the way that I do, looking back at my passion for it and wanting to start groups, which at the time I never did, but I would tell her, oh, I want to start a group here, like in the community center. You know, I had like this little apartment in Miami. I was like, maybe I could start like a group downstairs and have people come. And I already, like, this passion was ignited looking back now. It's like interesting of where I am now, right? It was already starting to be born, you know, from the very beginning, that my life would, you know, flourish into sharing the course in the way that I do. But yeah, I would just go on to continue to work as an entertainer. I mean, I went from wrestling, boxing, announcing in Vegas, crazy stuff with like gowns. It wasn't, I was holding up the numbers. I was literally with like a beautiful, like Las Vegas type of gown, shiny, in the middle of the ring, literally in the red corner, weighing, blah, 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 and in the right corner, and that kind of stuff is crazy.
I love it.
I'm like, oh my God, you know? And just like these jobs that were for men at the time, because at the time you would never see like a Latina boxing announcer, you know? The stuff that I would just get myself into.
That's fantastic. I mean, also, it really shows that you can be affiliated with many different kinds of religions and spiritual practices and have a life where, whether you're in jail or you're an announcer at a pro wrestling something, you can still be doing the course throughout all of it, or any of it. It can be your companion in life, no matter what, along with anything else, without competing.
Yes. Yes. And let me tell you, it went everywhere with me, everywhere when I was, because there was all this pressure and in the world of having to be successful, or having to do the job right, or having to, you know, audition, you know, and prove these people that you're worthy and that you're good. And yeah, so it's just such a powerful tool and in my life, but also at the same time, and I don't know if many of you that are listening, I'm sure could relate, is to going to the group, reading the book, and not practicing at all.
Mm-hmm.
Not living it.
Yeah.
You know, that was me.
But it still works on you. It still works on you, whether you're not living it and you're reading the book. It's still working on you. It's absolutely, like, somehow in your energetic field that you can't get rid of once you open it. And, you know, it will reveal itself to you at its right time of bringing you deeper. So,
yeah. Very gentle.
Or not. I mean, mm-hmm. it's been known to hit people on the head, fall off a shelf, and literally hit someone. Many people, I've heard that story, hit them on the head. So not so
gentle. Well, what I mean gentle for me in my own story is the gentleness of allowing it to, the understanding of it to come in a way that it was when I was ready for it. You know, when I was ready to fully understand forgiveness, when I was really ready to let go of the judgments, when I was really ready to just let go, or not really ready, it was just the time, right? Of like not looking for that happiness and joy outside of me, you know, making that decision. Mm-hmm. It, like you said, it came, it's not like nothing was happening. Something was happening. It's just that I was too fearful to wake up at that point in time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, Maria, is this evolved? How did you notice your attitude, behaviors, relationships kind of change at all?
Well, what I did notice is the one thing I did feel when I was studying the course and you know, at the beginning, was the peace that I did feel. But I still found myself, my relationships, even though the course is teaching you that nothing outside defines you and you're already whole and complete as you are, I was addicted to looking for love outside of myself. I was addicted to looking for love in men, you know, men complete me, you know, the whole Jerry Maguire movement of this movie of Jerry Maguire. There's at the end when Tom Cruise and Renee Zellweger at the end, they're at the door. And I don't know if he says you complete me or she completes him. I don't know how it was, but I loved it. I loved it. It was great. I cried. I thought that was the most romantic thing in the world. And that was my life. And I feel that every time I would go back to the course, it would just very gently remind me, even though Jesus sometimes does, you know, I always say he's kind of slaps you in the butt a little bit when he's speaking in the course, like, you know, he's like, here, you got to really understand this. It was just refreshing every time I would go back to it, because it was the opposite of what I was appeared to be living in the world of duality. Right. So I continue to have my addictions in a way while I was doing the course, but at the same time, I was, ironically enough, waking up through it, and sometimes very painful circumstances needed to happen so that I can get it. And that would be a lifelong journey of looking for love outside of myself and thinking that outside completes me. And speaking of forgiveness, because I know that you guys wanted to know about my forgiveness story, and that's good to tie in here, is that as I started to really live the course when I saw myself in 2009, I got divorced in my first marriage, ended in divorce. I found myself very disillusioned at the time. I was living in Los Angeles. I was an actor, very destructive behavior, you know, drinking a lot and doing all kinds of crazy things. You know, just out, just insane. I would say an insane time in my life. And I remember just thinking, if I don't make a change, I'm going to die. I will not be here. It was just not not good the way my life was going. And I had this thought to call my minister. And she said to me, the minister that married did the marriage for my husband and I, and she said, I said, listen, you know, my divorce is ending. My marriage is ending in divorce. And I wanted to know if you had any words for me or what should I do? She says, why don't you go to Pathways of Light? And Pathways of Light is a ministerial program based on the Course in Miracles. It's amazing. And the first thing I told her was, no, I'm an actor. You know, I'm not a reverend, because she says, I'll be a minister. I said, I'm not going to be a minister. I don't want to be a minister. I'm an actor. She says, yeah, but just go to the school so that way you can learn the Course in Miracles more and you can heal. So that intrigued me. So I would go on to study Pathways of Light, ministerial program. It's these binders that come to your home. Everything is the Course in those binders. Basically, you read text from the Course and then you do meditations on them. The whole point of it is to listen to the Holy Spirit. And I would take 3 or 4 years to do this course that takes a year because of my resistance. At the time, I didn't have so much money, but the money came. I got sponsored to do Pathways of Light. And that's when it was game on. That is when everything got revved up with the course in my mind. I started to wake up during my meditations more to Holy Spirit. I started to see the contrasts in my mind of healing with letting go of judgments and beginning to have this self-love for myself. I stopped doing destructive behavior. I started to come into speaking more. It was like everything was just changing and it was very quick. But my biggest forgiveness lesson was after I finished ministerial program and I was actually speaking at Unity churches. I was already teaching the course at this point, so I'm kind of like skipping around a little bit, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay. So I was sitting in my apartment in Los Angeles and I had just had an incident with this guy I was dating. He was a director in LA of a show. And I was doing my same old thing that I do, which is being relationships and trying to convince the person to love me. And also, you know, trying to make them believe that they can love me or they can be in a relationship or they are boyfriend material. That kind of stuff is the stuff I used to do. So I was thinking about this guy that I had a conversation with the day before he had come over. And I was having a conversation. I liked him. So I told him we were talking about relationship. And he said, well, just so you know, I'm not boyfriend material. And I just remember just trying to convince him for like 30 minutes that he was. It was just absurd. And I got home and I was thinking about it. I was like, I can't believe that I've been sitting here trying to convince this guy for 30 minutes to love me, to convince him that I'm lovable. And it hit me. And so much so that I did the service that morning at Unity and I came home, you know, spiritual teachers. At the time I was a spiritual teacher, but I was also, you know, a teacher from truth. Like I would share with my congregation how I was feeling. I would share with people how I would get out of it, which was very powerful for me because I always identify with teachers that share their life and how they wake up and how they see things differently. So ironically enough, I had just given an amazing sermon that Sunday. I came home sitting on the couch, going back to the couch. And I was thinking about this guy and I was thinking about Matt and Tam. I was just thinking about how I could text him, how I could get him over again. So I could try to convince him again. And I was thinking about the pasta I would make and the wine I would have. It was just like this ridiculous thing. So in the moment of about to text him, I had this meltdown of, you know, where people talk about when you get in the bathroom and you go on your knees, that kind of thing, of like this exhaustion of trying to convince the outside world to love me and to think that I'm good. And that would be in my acting career, my auditions, that would be in, you know, my relationships with men, in my relationship to life of like, hey, look at me, I'm lovable, love me. And it was just, I was exhausted. So I literally had a meltdown on my couch, huge meltdown. And I was just sobbing. And I was like, I'm so tired of trying to look for love outside of myself, of someone to tell me that I'm good and convince someone to love me. And I heard a voice. And the voice was, you need to forgive. And I said, forgive what? And said, you need to forgive your father. And it was so clear for me. It wasn't like a voice like, hallelujah, something like that. No, it was just very inspirational. Like, you need to forgive. So I sat with that and I said, okay, I'm willing to forgive. And then what I heard is, you need to forgive, you know, my father, which committed suicide when I was 3 months old. I never met him. You know, I don't remember meeting him, but I was 3 months old when he was so disillusioned with life. My father, he left Cuba. He left with my mom. He had a first wife. He left his two children in Cuba. When the communism started, they went to New York. Then they went to Miami, which is eventually where my mom had me in Miami. And my dad was so disappointed in leaving his sons in Cuba. It was very hard for him. My mom had another son, a younger son. She had two boys that she had with my father. And one of them got hit in a car accident when he was 9 and he passed away. My father could not handle it, could not handle the situation with his sons in Cuba, couldn't handle the death of my brother. And imagine my mother and her, you know, whole life experience of going through that and then having a husband that can't handle it and literally trying to kill himself at least 3 or 4 times. He tried it jumping off bridges in Miami in the water. Well, he just wouldn't die until he finally just shot himself in the head. And this was on the day of my mom's birthday. And I was 3 months old. Yeah. So I didn't know at the time when Spirit said, forgive your father, first thing I thought is, well, I don't remember much. You know, I just don't remember much. Like, I didn't feel like I had a grievance with my father. I never felt that there was anything there, but I was willing to look at it. Not only that, Spirit said, you not only need to forgive your father, you need to forgive all the men in your life. And I was like, oh, that's a lot of men. And it's funny because my husband Christian now asks me how many. I said, honey, that's in the past. So
just many. That's how many.
Too many. So when Spirit said all the men in my life, I was like, holy moly, like that's a lot. I'd never read this in a book. I never read this process before. It wasn't something that I had seen before. This is just something that was for me. And it was the instruction was 7 days or every single day. It ended up being 7 days for me of where I would go back to the relationships, certain relationships that were very pivotal in my life. And I would look at the story that I made up about it. And the first one starting with my dad and then going to all my relationships until that point in time that were very pivotal. And I did it. And it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. It was forgiveness on steroids. It was looking and getting very honest about my story, my beliefs about things, and then having Holy Spirit tell me what is really the truth. There was a lot of crying. There was a lot of undoing. There was a lot of like just emotionally drained. I remember I was even speaking at it at the time and my assistant had to pick me up and drive me to the event. Like just like so much was going on that week. And I'll just share with you one particular story, which is the one with my father and what I got and just how powerful the teachings of the Course in Miracles is, how you can see something in such pain, or you can see something that just looks fearful and you could suffer so much, to the contrast of what the Course gives you, which is seeing it in His holiness and see it in Christ's vision. But as I like to say, you need to sometimes bring up and you need to be seen in such grace. And that's what I did. So I saw that I did have a grievance with my father. I felt that he was selfish. I felt that what came to me is that I was so distraught that he would leave my mother in that condition, that the way he did it. You know, how dare he was my thoughts. How dare you? How dare you do this? And then just really going down that rabbit hole of my judgments towards him. And then I had this moment of where I asked Spirit, what's really real here? And what came to me was It's so powerful. I'm sorry.
No, sorry.
Please take your time.
Yeah.
It was such a release. That's why I wanted to share this story, because it's changed my life, you know, of just really forgiving. What I got from Spirit is that my father never left me. He never left me. He did me a favor. He did me a favor because he was so jealous, and he checked out of here for me, is what Spirit told me. It was to help me, because he would have hindered my path in life. He would have obstructed it in some way, and that he left for me. And Spirit ended up saying to me, you know, your father never left you, because your father is God. Your real father is God, and God will never leave you. And I went to write after I had this epiphany with Spirit of what's really real, and really seeing my father in a different way, that I wrote him a letter. And I actually share this letter in my book, Live Your Happy. So I'm going to read it to you. And it says this: Daddy, I never got to tell you that I love you. I'm sorry for all the pain you went through. And I trust you are in a better place. You are my prince, my guardian angel, because in truth, I know you never left me and never will. We are one, you see. You are an amazing spirit who has been a great teacher. Your leaving your body has nothing to do with me, but somehow I decided to make it about me. I've carried this burden for so long. Whatever I have unconsciously made it mean till now is not true, and I'm ready to let go of the cross. I'm willing to forgive you, Dad. Yeah.
Oh, so, so perfect in truth.
Yeah.
I was wondering, because as you were telling the story, your first response, or what you told us, was that you were so angry that your father left your mother in that condition. And I was thinking, well, wait a second, you're talking a whole story of abandonment, psychological abandonment for you, but you were taking on the anger about how he left your mother. So I was really glad to see that as you got deeper in, it was about him leaving you in that abandonment way, and that you kept looking to the outside world to justify your existence and to validate that you were lovable, because of that feeling that you weren't, because he actually left you and took his life away while you were newly born. And and understanding, getting to another understanding and perspective, in still a narrative, flipping the understanding to he actually left for you, is a huge way to come into forgiveness. And, you know, the next one is none of it really happened. He's still here. Your father is really God. And how it keeps transforming. But sometimes we need a flip of narrative to get the heart opening.
Yeah. And that is what the Course in Miracles offers.
Yeah.
You know, the forgiveness that the Course teaches. That's why I'm such an advocate. You know, that's why I've dedicated my life to this. Is that's huge. Yes. Right? And what you just said, like the narrative. So it's so radical. It's like from fear to love. It's like, it's, you can see the contrast there. It's two whole different stories. But as you can see, I needed, at least in my path, I needed to go there. I needed to see that, you know?
Well, truly in everyone's path, because what the Course teaches is that, which is so unusually and almost controversial, is that you need to bring your darkness to the light so that Christ, Holy Spirit, God can transform it for you. But if you don't bring it to the light, it's not able, well, in this world of form, to be transformed. So your willingness to say, okay, I'll look at it, is all that was needed. And then everything started to shift for you. And I, you know, we can go straight out of the world of form and say, this never happened, so I forgive. And there are many people who, deeper and deeper into the course practice, really can experience that. They don't have to go into the story. But so many of us who are entrenched in story, even me with Xfinity, sometimes we need some other way of looking at the story so it can be released, so that our stronghold on it lets us go. And it's very powerful and shouldn't be dismissed that, you didn't even have to think the opposite of the story in order to suddenly release. It really, spirit does help in this way to shift us around. It's one of the ways.
Yes. So. Yes. And at that point, I also learned something really important after that experience, and just every single man in my life after that, that I did this particular process in. And I realized towards the end, I was just, this is another layer of the forgiveness, is where I was crying and I was just at my knees again. And I was like, okay, I'm ready, Holy Spirit. I'm ready to experience love. I'm ready to not look for love outside of myself anymore. I want to experience, you know, this addiction to looking for love outside of myself. Like, I'm ready. I thought that I had proven myself of 7 days, you know. I was like, okay, I'm ready, Spirit. I'm ready. And it was the first time I was actually really honest with me with this answer. And the answer that came to me when I said, I'm so ready, Spirit, was an answer that was so powerful. And it was so just upside down when Spirit said, no, you're not. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what do you mean? I've just cried. I've just forgiven my father. I've just, you know, I've had 7 days of suffering. I mean, come on, look at all these notes I have. What do you mean I'm not ready? You know, I was like, what is that? Oh yeah, Spirit, I'm ready to heal. I'm ready to be the love of my life. I'm ready to have, you know, my partner. No, you're not ready. That was huge for me too, because I got the joke. I understood that the self-sabotage, I understood that I wasn't being uncompromising. I understood that I was making exceptions to the course, that I wasn't really living it. That's when the light bulb went off. And that's my passion now, is to help other students and you know, anybody that wants to come to me, is to really begin to be uncompromising and just come back to that really big, I call it, you know, Course in Miracles says little willingness, but I always like to say big fat willingness just for fun, to want to go there. And I think one of the reasons why I had the experience I had with my father was because of that willingness of really, really wanting to get loose of this addiction, because it was an addiction. But that moment when I said, no, you're not, is the first time I was really, really honest with myself. And my life changed after that. My relationship started changing. I would, you know, one day, one or two of feeling like a man didn't want to be with me, it was over. I didn't try to convince them. And ironically enough, I think maybe a year and a half later, I would get offered to write, you know, my first book, Live Your Happy, based on the course. And then a little bit after that, meet Christian and get pregnant with Ari. So much got healed there. But I think what I learned there was, Tam and Matt, and you let me know what you think about this, is this really uncompromising nature of living it. No matter what, like, it's before it was like, I am love, but I'm still going to look for love outside of myself, or I am abundance, but I'm still going to believe that, you know, scarcity thinking of my bank account. It was just this contrast of not really, I am love and I am love, period.
Period.
Yep.
Right. Yep. No semicolon, no dot, 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 ellipsis, you know, nothing.
No, let's do this. Like, let's F and do this. You know, let's F and do this. Like, seriously, like F it. Like, let's forgive this already. Like, let's freaking forgive it.
Yeah.
That's my passion, is really.
Yes, and more power to you, honey.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's what I think about it. What do you think about it, Matt?
So when the belief in not being lovable, or you kind of had this belief in attracting men that would kind of testify that you're not lovable. And when you change that belief, they kind of stop showing up.
Yeah. Stop showing
up. Yeah, I would love to say something right here. And if it is too personal, you can ask for it to be edited out. So first I'm going to ask your permission. And if you say not now, we can talk about it later, but it's something that came up in this.
Yes, of course. You know, okay. I'm an open book, just like literally myself in this interview.
It's not completely about you. That's why we can look at it afterwards. But in any case, when one of the times when we met, it makes sense in narrative and storyline and psychology, why you chose this fabulous man who absolutely loved you completely. And it was very obvious. And then you got pregnant and he had some hesitations about being a father. And, you know, it was quick and surprise and all of this. And those hesitations make sense for a last little piece of that learning, that you would choose someone who wasn't sure he wanted to be a father when you were so excited and all in at that point. And the transformation that he made in himself to be all in reflected where your own practice was.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going to make me cry again, Tam. Come on.
I'm going to make you cry the first time.
I know. This interview, it's an interview.
Yeah. No, but that last little piece where here you are getting everything on the outside that you wanted, a man who really loved you, and here you are with a baby, and how exciting. And the baby had to be male. In the storyline of a sort, had to be male for complete and total, you know, acceptance and love in another form of the male. And that last little glitch of, wait a second, my husband now not sure. And you handled it magnificently.
Wow, Tam. Yep. Yep. Yeah. It all came up again. It was all there again in my face. It's like, you're going to really look at this. You're not done. You're going to really look at this. I remember after having Ari and our relationship and his doubts was just, it brought up all that again, that insecurity, that abandonment stuff. And it was terrifying. Yeah. It was terrifying. I remember talking to you about it.
He did it for you. I mean, he totally did it for you. And that's what's so beautiful, because I could see the love so committed to you in this, but the personality play within it was a gift.
Mm-hmm. And I think that was huge for me, the way that you're saying that I handled it, because I do remember all the forgiveness I did. I literally put everything into practice, everything in my toolbox, and I ended up actually forgiving it. And really feeling confident in my marriage, feeling confident in deserving of being in a marriage like this and having a person like him in my life. Mm-hmm. And not having his doubts, even sometimes when they come up now, I don't make it about me anymore. And that's huge. That's freaking huge. Oh my God. I just said that. That's huge.
It is. It's as huge as your willingness, because you don't just have a little bit. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. I don't make it about me anymore. It's like, he could be doubtful and I'm like, oh, there he goes again. You know, it's like nothing. It doesn't even touch me. That's what the Course in Miracles and Forgiveness does.
Exactly. Wonderful story. Wonderful illustration. Thank you.
That was beautiful.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were going to come with this little, and pull that thread, Tam. That makes a lot of sense.
I didn't either. I never do. We are here only to be truly helpful to each other.
And funny thing, Matt, I know we're going to wrap it up, but I remember that when I first met Christian, before we were even, married, we were traveling, and we actually, I met Tam, I met Judith, I met, the whole, you remember that, Tam?
Oh, yeah.
Crazy that you changed the cake. I think it was happy, and I don't know what it was, because we got married, and then
Jessica got married.
You made us a wedding cake, kind of thing,
right? And you just got married, And it became a wedding cake. And then, like, so soon after, it was like the baby shower.
Like, yes.
You know, it was all connected. And you didn't even know. Yeah. At that time, like, so much was going on. Your entire life was transforming in the world of form.
So, yes. Yeah. Yes.
But and because of the work that you've been doing, I mean, there it was.
Yep. So,
we had the privilege of meeting you during a huge unfolding.
Yeah. And like, it was all set up. We were so held there and so seen. And it's funny because, you know, looking back in the 90s, how I started the course, and then, you know what, 20 something years later, I would literally be with you, with your mom. I would, like, you know, this huge forgiveness lesson with men and bringing Christian. It was like, wow, it just blows my mind.
I think we only met in person twice. One that time when you just gotten married, and the next time for your baby shower.
Yes. The lunch that you gave me. Yes. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Wow. And now here we are.
Yep. Third time. Charm. This is the
Yeah. This was beautiful for me too, just to be able to voice it, to be able to cry, to be able to look at it. For me, it just feels like a celebration, and I get to celebrate it with you too and the audience. So thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you too. Well, Matt still has some questions for you.
I do.
Oh my gosh. More questions. Okay. Love it.
Okay. Uh-huh. So Maria, just from a practical perspective, we're trying to help listeners and ourselves here. When you get in kind of that ego storm and it just, you know, kicks out your legs, it feels so real, you lose your God-centeredness. Is there anything practically you do to get back on track that you find helpful?
Yeah, two things that are coming up is one, there's two ways that I do it. One is I become very aware and very present. So I actually allow myself to feel, you know, it's like, there's nothing wrong. I feel like in the society, sometimes we're like, oh, we can't be a hot mess, or, you know, we can't feel, or we got to bypass it. For me, it's like just allowing myself to be where I am and, you know, allowing my upset. You know, I call her Maria la loca. She's lost her mind. Uh-huh. I'm believing in the illusion. Uh-oh. I'm believing that Christian's my problem. Oh my God, Maria la loca. She's in full effect, you know, just allow her to be. And then it brings me back to my sanity, because I'm not making myself wrong. I'm not feeling guilty. I'm just, okay, I'm forgetting who I am right now. And for some reason, that just brings me back of like understanding, okay, and kind of laughing at it and being like, oh my God, I was just thinking or believing that Christian's my problem, or my husband's my problem in this case. And it's not true. You know, that helps me. Another thing that helps me is, and this is for everyone, is just when you dedicate yourself to, it's not so much studying the course, because, you know, it's, for me, it's more from bringing it from the head to the heart and really experiencing it. So what really helps me is I forgive, even if I don't want to. I'm willing. I'm so willing, even though it's super hard sometimes, but I'm so willing. I think that really helps. And I'm able to really just get the joke. You know, I become very observant because I have practiced so much that it just becomes automatic. So I encourage everyone, something that's really going to help is really being, again, going back to not making exceptions and don't make compromises to it. It's like, I'm fully in. I'm committed to live this. I'm committed, again, to forgive even if I don't want to. I'm committed to living a life of trying to not be judgmental. And great things happen. You know, you start to be in your relationships, you're more aware. It's like, once you turn on the light, you turn on the light, you know, there's an awareness there. So you'll start to see that when you think that something outside is your problem, you'll start to understand, no, the problem is not that. The problem is the story I'm making about it. And having a deep relationship with Holy Spirit, you know, having a deep understanding that the power to heal is within you, literally. Like, it's in you. You get to, when you recognize you've never left the mind of God, you begin to be in your relationships differently, and you begin to not be the victim, and you just know. It's like there's this awareness there. So that's what helps me. One last thing is, don't make it too real. Don't make it too real. When you make it real, you're going to suffer. If you don't make it too real, then you're good.
I love that. I particularly love Maria La Loca. the crazy. So, because I remember, you know, I had a lot of problems with hormones through like PMS and this and that throughout my younger life. And I finally just named the character that got so nutty hormonally. I called her Hormona. And the moment I called her Hormona each time, and I would tell people around me, if they would say, "Hey, Hormona," "Oh yes, that's not me, is it?" I got to get back to right mind. But it was also accepting that for that moment, that's what was going on. So it was me at that moment, but not the real me.
Yes. And it sounds so much lighter. Like when you said that, it's like, we're bringing the joy in. We're bringing making a little bit lighter. Yes.
Yeah. Making fun of ourselves when we are that nutty. And then that laughter always can bring spirit back in, because that is spirit.
Yeah. And who says that, you know, we can't be a hot mess? You know, who says that we can't like lose our marbles? Like, that's just absurd. Exactly. We're in a world of duality. We are going to go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and not the cereal, right?
Mm-hmm. And the cereal.
And the cereal. It's actually yummy. But do you know what I mean? It's like, just allow ourselves to be, like, it doesn't matter. You know, we just fully embracing and bringing ourselves the grace, I feel is so, so, so important. So important. Yeah.
Allow for the what is, as you are in your right minded of who mind of who you really are during it.
Mm-hmm. And then within that, you wake up, you wake up, because you're not judging it. You're not, you know, you have no grievance towards it. It's just accepting. And then the love comes in. But if you're in it and you're like, "Oh, I don't want to feel this way. Oh, I don't want to be crazy. Oh, you know, I've been studying the course and I've been studying the lessons and I'm an A student and you, why am I still getting upset?" And blah, 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 you know,
right.
Stop it.
Wake up from the dream into the happy dream.
Yep.
Okay, Matt, next question.
Final question, more? Maria. What Final is question. Your favorite comfort food?
Well, it has to be Cuban food, and I love my Cuban food. So it's a certain dish. It's right, white rice, and it's some black beans, and it's this ropa vieja, which is like this shredded beef that's cooked in this sort of tomato-y soup. And then you cannot not have plantains, like sweet banana plantains on the side. We love to eat bananas with everything, by the way. So there you go. That's my favorite dish.
Sounds great.
Yes.
Cuban food is great.
And you're making me hungry. I'm going to have my meal after this.
Well, Maria, is there any place you want to point listeners, your website, social media, anything like that?
That's a question, Matt.
That's a question, you're right.
I think the easiest place, just thinking off the top of my head, is mariafelipe.org, which is my website. And you could find me on Instagram as well, and, you know, on Facebook and everything like that. But I think the website will probably lead you everywhere. I've started something really cool that kind of been wanting to do for years, which is begin to build community, especially around this Living the Course in Miracles. So it's just 3 months old. I started the Happy Miracle membership, which is a monthly membership where we are creating community, and we're creating a workbook, and we create these really nice screensavers. I also record a meditation a month. Every month has a theme. The theme of the month now is healing and relationships, or, you know, healing the mind, gratitude and healing. And I love it. I love it because it's like my little project. It's a place for me to get everyone together. We can have calls with different teachers. Like this month, we have Alan Cohen, and next month we have Gary Renard, and just in one hub, everybody hang out. So I just started that, the Happy Miracle membership. And if you go to my website, you can try it for 2 weeks for free and see if you like it. But that's my little baby right now. And I'm really passionate about it. So thank you for letting me share that.
Great.
Well, great.
Maria, thanks so much for coming on Miracle Voices and sharing your miracle voice. We really appreciate it.
Yes.
You, my miracle voice and my miracle crying.
Yeah, all of it. All part of the release.
You got it all. You got it all.
I got that Ricky Martin song stuck in my head. Living la vida loca. I'm thinking about Maria Loca.
Yes, Maria La Loca. Yeah. Please guys remember that. Whenever you're going insane, just remember it's okay. It's all good. Yeah.
And this is moving along, and Matt, you can totally cut this out, but there was something I was moved to say earlier. and if it's too long, just get rid of it. But Maria, you mentioned about originally in the beginning of all of this, you had an angst about getting older and, you know, growing up and being more responsible and whatever you had to do in the world. And I just wanted to share that my son, Lige, when he was 9 years old, the night before his 10th birthday, he started to have a major freak out and he was really upset. And I said, "What's going on?" And he said, "It's moving too quickly. It's moving too quickly. I'm about to be a double digit and I don't know if I can handle it." And I said, "Honey, it's just a number." "No, it's not just a number. Everything's moving so fast. Soon I'm going to be 10 and then I'm going to be 20 and then grandma's going to die and you're going to die." And like, he just went through this whole thing. "Oh, and I'm going to grow facial hair." And I'm like, "Oh," he just started listing it. When he got to my mom, "You're going to die," and me, like, tears were streaming down my own eyes because I was watching him understand the brevity of life in a weird way at age 9, just about to be 10, all because of the double digits. And I held him in my arms and I said, "Okay, I'm not going to say that's not true because all of that's true. But at the same time, we're here right now and let's be in the present. And more, you can mourn all of this for a few minutes and I'll hold you and do this. But then let's celebrate life together. And you're about to be 10 and it's going to be wonderful too. And that part's going to be great." So I held him and he finally got quieted. And he said, "You know, I'm not really into heroes, Mom, but there's one person I would like to be if I had a hero." And I said, "Who is that?" And he said, "The Buddha." And I said, "Why the Buddha?" And he said, "Because everything I hear about the Buddha, he knew how to be in this world, in the present, and also not be sad about it."
Wow.
And this was it. Like, I'm holding this kid, you know, and it's like, "Oh my God." And he's only about to be 10. Oh my God. But it was such a beautiful sight, view into what we put on ourselves because of a number, because of an age we're supposed to be, or, you know, he blew it up so beautifully for me to see how he could be feeling this angst about just becoming 10 years old. And you seem to have that too suddenly, you know, in 10 years later. And it just for all of us to realize this is fleeting. It is true. But, you know, when someone says, "Oh my God, I'm, you know, 87 and, you know, this is really hard." And my response is always, "Well, but what's the alternative? Do you want to be here or do you not?"
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you want to be here? And so it touches all of us at any age.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Thank you for that. I feel like I'm not alone. I wasn't alone in that feeling.
No, we all go through it at some point. So thank you for sharing that.
Thank you, Tim. Thanks, Matt.
Tam. Thanks, Maria.
You,
thanks so much for listening today. Please subscribe to Miracle Voices by hitting the subscribe button on your podcast app. If you are enjoying these conversations, please consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever podcast app you use. And lastly, please visit us at miraclevoices.org and join our newsletter so we can stay connected. Until the next podcast, I want to leave you with my favorite course quote: "When you want only love, you will see nothing else."